NFT.
NFT.
NFTs.
NFTs.
Non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, are exploding in popularity.
This is ZenChats. I am Zeneca. Let's talk NFTs.
Hello and welcome to another episode of ZenChats. I'm Zeneca and I'm thrilled to be here with Hashlips today, who is honestly one of the people in this space who has done more than almost anyone, maybe more than anyone, in terms of helping developers, artists, creators with technical side of things, with educational content. He has an incredible YouTube channel. First and foremost, is an artist. But before we're going to get into all of his backstory, his origin story, what he's up to, what he's done, where he's going. But before we do that, I just want to say hello, welcome, thank you for being here. How are you?
Zeneca, thank you so much. What an amazing introduction. It seems so over the top. I just feel like
it's not.
in this space, it's just important to educate, but I really appreciate being on your channel. Honestly, Zeneca, it's an honor to just meet you because likewise, I've just heard so many amazing stuff and seen so many amazing stuff you've done for this community, which I'm just so excited to be here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the honor is mine. We were connected via a mutual friend, I think, like a couple of months ago now, and I think it was such a cool moment because, you know, I'd seen you and your stuff, and I think you'd seen some of my content, and like this often happens in the space where you sort of like circle other people, other creators, without necessarily directly interacting, and then getting this opportunity to just chat to you on a personal level as well as have you on my show it's an honor and a privilege. All right, I always like to begin with asking about your origin story in terms of like NFTs, crypto, Web3. How did you get into this crazy, crazy world? Because I always find it fascinating. Everyone has like a different journey. What were you doing before all of this? And then how did that journey look like for you?
Oh, man. I was working before this.
A thing called a job.
A thing called a job. But now I'm working myself to death. before the NFT space, I was an artist and also a full stack, a web two developer. You know, that's a thing right now. So I was a web two developer, just was working with the team in a telco, in the telco business. So doing mobile apps there. And I was just slowly but surely, you know, CryptoKitties back then, I got a few, still have them. they were in the back of my mind. And when I heard NFTs are now big, I mean, everyone heard about CryptoPunks, of course. I was also one of those individuals just struggling to get into the space, like didn't know what I was doing. So yeah, it was, before this, I was a developer.
So a developer, and then timeline wise, when did you decide to enter the space? And like, I mean, cause you don't have a quote unquote job now, you're, I guess, full-time NFTs, correct? Full-time Web3, full-time crypto.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to make a living out of, YouTube, I guess. NFTs, YouTube, content creation. I try and keep as much as I do open source and freely available to the public. So I guess, for now, my job is content creating, doing NFTs. We have our own NFT collection as well. And most importantly, artworks. I love artworks. Before I even got my previous development job, I was an artist for 6 years straight, full on. And unfortunately, I had to leave that to get an actual job, as you know.
It's difficult to make it as an artist. You know, pre-NFTs, even as an NFT artist, it's very difficult to make it. Like, there's no illusions that it's an easy thing to do, but maybe it's slightly easier or you can reach a different audience. Speaking of art, like for those watching the video version of this, you've got this massive mural behind you, which you just painted a couple of days ago. It's really epic. Yeah. It's huge. Yeah.
And it's done with markers. Like it was done with like pens and
how many? Markers.
Yeah, oh, there was too many to count. at some point, I was like, let me just paint it. So I did. And then the colored like variations went right. So I was like,
yeah.
So yeah, just markers. But thanks. Yeah, it's a, I didn't have a nice fancy logo behind me apart from this thing that my girlfriend made me. And I thought, you know, let me have something behind me at least.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. It's really, really cool. All right. So in terms of NFT collections, you've released a lot. I mean, I think in terms of people who have released like deployed contracts with NFTs, I can't think honestly of any individual who's done more. What was the first one? What did you start with?
Oh, Zeneca, let me think. That would would have been... So I keep on saying it's Hashlips because Hashlips was these little generated lips, the code that we've implemented for them. But it wasn't that. It was actually something called DebArt something. And it was these professions and it also had different traits and so on. But that those all were failed, right?
Yeah.
I won't say they failed. It's just I didn't know how to do it at the time. So I would generate 10,000 or generate 2,000 and upload them one by one on OpenSea, then Binance, then Polygon, then you know, all sorts of chains, even Teslas. So I started off with that and then it went on from Hashlips, which I then stuck to, the name stuck. And then I decided, let me just take a pause of releasing content. Let me actually teach myself. And when I found out there's no content out there, let me teach the world this as well. And then everyone just started making NFTs. And I said, okay, let's at least have one cool collection out there, which I put all my effort in. And that's Sketchy Labs. Sketchy Art Book Club, Maniacs coming out. So there's a whole, and the whole premise of that is it's all hand drawn stuff. So I hand draw them on pieces of paper. So actually, like this is not how they look. This is a one of one piece, but basically it's like that.
So cool. And then,
yeah, I just get scanned in, like, color it in. So, yeah.
So when did you decide to start sort of creating content on YouTube? Like, and I mean, you have a YouTube channel that has around 100,000 subscribers now. I think it's really amazing to see. And you're putting out so much free content and value, as well as like open sourcing all of your code as well, which is incredible. But when did like you make that decision and what was like the beginnings of that? What did that look like?
Yo, that was actually an interesting start. Thinking back about this now, it's basically been a year and like 2 months. And back then, I just started the channel. Initially, I wanted to start a channel to help people with basic stuff because I felt like my family, you know, no one knew what I was doing. So I thought, let me put some stuff for individuals out there who's not versed in NFTs, blockchain. So I really helped them. Got into contact with Polygon. And told them, I'm going to be a YouTuber one day. This was when I have like had 120 subscribers. I want to be a YouTuber and I want to promote Polygon because I love Polygon, especially for their low fees and stuff. So they said, okay, you can do it. So I just did Polygon content, and realized that, you know, at some point I like Ethereum as well, a lot more. So I moved between the two. And slowly but surely, especially because of the art engine, people started liking the content. I found that every now and then you have a space, people would come up to you and say thank you, which I really appreciate because you never know how people take the content until they really tell you. So, and that, I mean, you also have mentioned this before, that gratification that you got from helping people just grew. And it was this little snowball that didn't stop. So every time I made a video, I got so excited because I knew there was going to be people out there that this could help out and they can uplift themselves through it. We have some amazing stories in our journey about people who couldn't afford to buy a car, you know, at all. And they were a family of six and they actually managed to finish a YouTube tutorial, get a small NFT collection out. Didn't make like, you know, millions and stuff, but made enough to buy a car. And that's so, so amazing to hear those stories come from the content and actually what people have experienced by doing it. So I don't know. It was just by like an automatic thing happening. I've always tried YouTube before. I got a few different channels out there. Not channels that I'll share. I'm not so proud about. So just as art, as an artist, you know, putting stuff out there. But yeah, this educational side, you know, I believe if you have something to share with the world, why not, you know, put it on YouTube, make it easy about it.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's second biggest search engine in the world, right? After Google, it's where a lot of people are just going to find content, information, education. And you mentioned the Hashlips art engine. And I think, I mean, there's been hundreds, probably thousands of people who have used this now to, you know, launch their own collections, to test things out, experiment. Can you maybe talk through how what it is and how that process looks like and all of that, please?
Yeah, of course. If it wasn't for the art engine, you know, none of this would have been possible as well. So I have to give credit to the little program back then. the art engine consists of just people providing the layers for the NFTs, mm-hmm. and then the art engine will kind of layer them on top of each other, producing these so-called PFP NFTs. So it's very easy to use, you know, especially if you are a coder, but also for people who are not versed in coding. That's what the videos are all about. Teach people how you can use the engine, how you can deploy contracts on an easy kind of to follow along basis, even though it's very technical stuff. But that's what it does. And it's just a simple program spitting out these images. And people asked me to add GIFs, for instance. Then we have to go and make a whole new video because the version changed. And then, you know, let's add this and let's add rarities. And let's so it grew. It grew into something where I feel like, okay, we're not touching it now. But exciting news, we are working on an art engine V2, which is going to be more suitable for businesses and, you know, proper development structures and entities and so on, which we're going to release. Also just open source, but we are working on that currently.
That's amazing. I mean, just the amount of people that have used it will continue to use it. And the fact that you just update it and make it open source is honestly, it's really, I mean, I just thank you on behalf of everyone. It's sort of like that, the whole staying current and updating, because this space moves so quickly. There's constant, there's new versions, there's new ideas and contract optimizations and stuff. It's like, that's been one of the things that stopped me from releasing like a lot of content. Last year, I was like, when I had the idea for Zen Academy, I said, hey, let me just put a website out there that tells everyone everything you need to know. And obviously that's a monumental behemoth task. And then I was like, well, even if I did it, keeping it updated is the really difficult part. So I think the fact that you're going back is awesome.
It's hell to update those things. But, you know, it's worth it at the end of the day. There's going to be a lot of changes. And I think that's also what's so fun about them. Because I look back now at some of the videos, honestly, Zeneca, I look back now and I wish I could delete them because people still go through and publish some of those contracts. That's, for instance, let's say not the 721A, not the cheaper gas one. And then they go through that process. But it's such a significant video to me because it shows the progress as well. And there's always updates that's going to happen in the tech space. It's super current. But I know you guys are going to get into more tutorials like that soon or sometime.
Yes. Yeah. On Zen Academy, we're going to be doing more, probably less on the technical side because I'm not a dev. I've never really dove into that side of things. And I mean, you're doing it. So like instead of reinventing the wheel, we'll just direct people to your channel and probably. Yeah, but more educational content for sure. Maybe on like the things that I'm knowledgeable about or a little bit knowledgeable about, like generative art is something I have a passion about. Or just the basics like Discord security. I think that there can never be enough content because it's so sad. Unfortunately, people get scammed and hacked. They clicking on links, someone DMs them, they connect their wallet via a malicious bot and sign a transaction. And I think the more education we can get out to just telling people about that, the better. And they can never be too much of that for sure.
Yeah. And people need to be so cautious because I mean, you know, some of the biggest biggest brands in the NFT space already have been hacked. I mean, our server got hacked, luckily only for 3 minutes, but it was the smallest thing that can happen. And, you know, luckily, if the team is efficient enough to take control of that, but it's better to inform individuals on security. That's so needed.
Yeah. I mean, it's, a lot of people say Discord is terrible software and things like that. I mean, like one of my servers got hacked as well. And, you know, Bored Apes have been hacked. Almost every server, Doodles, I think, has been hacked. But I think at the end of the day, it's less about a software thing. And most of the time, it's like social engineering and it's education and people who just aren't aware. But anyway, hopefully that, I think that will definitely get better over time. Since we were just talking about contracts before and optimizations, what do you sort of like, because I think you have your finger on the pulse when it comes to smart contracts and like seeing new ideas and new things developed. You mentioned something we chatted yesterday, this whole new 50-50 contract. What are you seeing as like things that are being explored now and like maybe even more, like what are you excited about for the future and you think that is going to come?
Yeah, I mean, I do know a lot about the latest stuff, mostly because people ask me. You know, hey, Daniel, can you just do something on this 50-50 thing? And then I'm like, okay, let me go and look at this. I'm not so versed about all the contracts and have updated videos on them purely because I believe that security comes first, like we just mentioned. So I first want to see that something is being tested and taken through the ropes before I even make a video on it. So I think, yeah, there's so many cool new standards coming out. But apart from the standards on your question on, you know, what I'm excited about is I'm honestly so excited for when we get to see NFTs in our daily lives. When we get our, I don't know, Samsung iPhone and, you know, as we log in, we can see there's our ownables and it's already part of the device, a software. I think those kind of things are going to be very exciting. An exciting experience for all of us, you know, especially people that's in the space now, the viewers listening to this, right? It's going to be super exciting. And that's what I am looking really forward to because it's going to, first of all, give us new content, new things to talk about, new avenues to explore, to educate more people on. Firstly, because we're going to know about it first, which I am very excited about because we get to try something out. And I always love being, you know, someone that gets to try new things out and then, you know, try and teach people about it. And then secondly, yeah, I think NFTs are going to make, hopefully, our lives a bit easier, you know, especially documentation-wise.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully. I mean, I believe it will for sure as well. When do you think that will happen? Or like people talk about like quote-unquote mainstream adoption of, you know, NFTs or when they are on your smartphone. I guess a two-part question. When, like, do you think that we're like a year away or like 2 decades away? When do you see that's going to happen? And what do you think needs to happen in order for that to occur? Like, what things can we be doing, those of us who are in the space, creating projects, content creators, or just people who are watching this video? What do you think needs to happen to get there?
That's a very good question. I'm going to take a wild stab. I think as early as next year, 2023, I think there's going to be a lot of development in the space where normal people will be able to interact with NFTs. Might not be so technical to get an NFT per se, right? Looking at a longer term, maybe the next 5 years, you know, everyone should be knowing about NFTs and what it is, seeing that the growth is so significant. And the only reason why I'm saying next year is because I see a lot of projects that approach me and they have these amazing things that I can't share, obviously, because they don't want it to be out. But then you think to yourself, wow, these guys are pretty close to completing this. So we might be seeing that, you know, pretty soon. So that makes me excited. And I think what needs to happen for that to occur really is that, you know, the chain that all this is going to live on needs to shine. I'm really heavily betting on Ethereum. I love the chain. You know, this is the chain where all the NFTs started and so on. But apart from that, I believe the technology, the underlying technology, the merge coming up, all these things taking place will also make it affordable for businesses to get involved, to put their stuff on NFTs. And yeah, so maybe next year we'll start seeing it in difference. I mean, Sam, and I think Samsung has it on. I don't know if I can mention this even, but I don't know. Are we allowed to mention company names? I'm not sure.
I have no issue with it. So
maybe we can just bleep it out. I don't know. But a TV company or a tech company, a technological company brought out a TV that's already supporting NFTs.
Yeah.
And, Twitter, for instance, with the PFPs that you can now make into a hexagon. That's small examples, I think, of something that's going to come that's bigger, right? The next step is, because digitally we can incorporate this very easily, right? The next step is taking this into a market where you and I see this in the shopping centers. You know, hey, if you have this NFT, you get this discount on these shoes. How cool would that be? Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. Like once you start picking at the use cases and envisioning a future where NFTs are ubiquitous, it's so cool, so exciting. And it's inevitable. Like it's difficult to imagine a world where it doesn't exist once like the tech catches up. And it, like you said, we're not that far off. I also talk to people all day, every day, like founders who are like, wow, you're working on something so cool. And it's like, I can't tell people that often, but it's like, it's so exciting to be on this side. And that's why, like, we're in a bear market right now, but I'm so excited and thrilled about the space. And I think, early as next year that's probably earlier than I would say. And I think most people say, but I think, I wouldn't be shocked if we're at that point then, because like you said, there's so many people working on so much good stuff. Cool. I want to, move on to, I guess, you as an artist, because I think you are an artist. You are, I mean, even before being a developer and a content creator, that's, you mentioned for 6 years, you were working on art. You're still an artist. You're still creating amazing things. You've got this fantastic mural behind you. I guess specifically, let's talk about Sketchy Labs, Sketchy 8 Book Club. Tell us about that collection, what you're up to, what you've done, and like where you're going with that.
Yeah, I mean, of course. On that first question, I'm excited. I'm so excited. So, and it also ties into being an artist, right? Because for the first time, and I think for most artists out there, they can agree, it is tough. It is tough still in the Web3 space to get your art out there. It's always going to be tough. But at least this is a new platform for artists to explore. And for the first time, make it possible to have a global audience. So me as an artist, when I started Sketchy Labs, now Sketchy Labs is a byproduct that actually came from Sketchy Ape Book Club, our original NFT collection. And they're basically these little apes, hand-drawn apes. I don't have an example here, but...
I can pull it up actually on screen. Oh, that's not watching the video. Yeah.
Wow. Man,
this production value.
That is cool. That is very cool. So, once we pull it up, Sketchy Eye Book Club is kind of the genesis collection that started it all. I drew each layer all by hand, and I used the exact same code base that everyone used, the Hashimoto engine, to generate the layers over there. Yes, there they are. How cool is this? What's this? ZenChat. Oh, this is amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Those are the Sketchy Ape Book Club NFT collections. And yeah, when we launched them, it was back in, I think, November last year. And it was really an exciting time. For the first time, I got to put out one of my artworks, as an NFT PFP collection. And oh man, we just grew this amazing community. As you see, recently we got the little blue ticks. I almost fell off my chair when that happened, because at some point OpenSea didn't want to verify so-called derivative projects. Of course, it's apes being called the derivative, which I'm okay about. I wanted to make something different though. So these look more quirky, more fun, and so this whole collection is about becoming a community of artists, bringing them together. hand drawn and scanned. Like, listen. This is, trust me, it's horrible to draw so many layers and scan them in, but it's totally worth it. And we just started a whole artistic community with this, a creative community. And the whole point was for our community to write a book together. And that's why it's called Book Club, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But honestly, writing a book together with 2,000 people is it's very challenging.
I can imagine.
So it's very challenging writing a book together. So we in between, we had different kind of legs in our NFT project. Obviously, you know, we're not a utility project, but our utility came naturally because we're in the educational space. So we have like educational sessions, all these kind of things. And then as an artist recently, what I've started doing is if people get into the collections, then I drop them my personal artworks, you know, for free, like these smaller collections. And man, it's just been so fun. So it's a wacky, cool community. We all just like loving and jiving life in there. So yeah, I mean, it's for me my passion project. And I think in the future, what we want to see with Sketchy Labs happening is that it also becomes a leg of education, getting mm-hmm. people involved in the space. And in all honesty, just introducing newcomers to good communities. You know, you get those communities and those NFT projects where it's all about hype. You don't get a word in when you speak, yeah. You know, because you're just bombarded by gifts and flames. Yes. But we really want to just have a solid community like that. And that's why Sketchy Labs and my art is now on the blockchain. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. It. Yeah. You showed me. Yesterday on a call, went through the your Discord, your two Discords actually, and like looking at the channels and the community that's created, the number of people in there, and it's always amazing to see people come together and form these tight knit communities, especially in a bear market. You sort of see the strong communities shine when people are still turning up every day to have fun, to learn, to grow together. It's amazing what you've done, and you're continuing to do because you're still, like you said, releasing and airdropping things having the collection expand and the world expand. And I mean, it's things you can do with NFTs, right? It's like you said, it's forever on the blockchain. You could come back in 12 years and be like, well, anyone who owned a Sketchy Ape or owns a Sketchy Ape, or even like who had held one from day one, I'm going to airdrop them this, or they get access to this class or whatever. It's so cool. All right. I want to move on to a few questions on the education side, because I mean, you are known a lot for helping people when it comes to coding, and learning how to code and all that kind of stuff. What are the like top three things that you get asked most of the time when it comes to coding?
Oh man. Top three things is, why is my program not working? First of all, I don't know. There's errors we need to solve. So first of all, I just get a bunch of like, why is this not working? Then I get a lot of questions about, you know, new smart contracts. It seems to me like there's a lot of people interested in the in diversifying into different, you know, first of all, smart contracts, and it seems like also blockchains. I get a lot of questions around certain blockchains, not only just Ethereum, which is mm-hmm. quite interesting.
Yeah,
and then get a lot of dev questions just on help. If I can be involved in tech projects and so on, which unfortunately for most people watching this, I do say no, because yeah. You know, it just sometimes gets a bit hectic. You can't help everyone. That's why in the videos you try and help
exactly
as many people as you can.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, and you are helping a lot of people, but yeah, if you get two people every day asking for you to work on their project, it's very clearly and quickly becomes an impossible thing to say yes to. What do you think are the most difficult things when it comes to coding, and I guess more specifically starting to learn how to code? And any advice for like beginners, someone who's watching this, who's never written a line of code in their life, or maybe they're coming from like Web 2 background and has never written any Web 3 code. What's difficult, and where would you sort of point people to start, aside from watching your videos, of course?
Yeah, watch my videos.
Yeah.
No, you know, honestly, advice for individuals who wants to get into coding and they've never coded in their life, or even if you have a little experience, you know, find the videos on the YouTube. There's an abundance of, you know, knowledge about specific topics. But actually, my biggest advice is if you watch something, follow along, download the software, type with your hands and follow along, even if it's pausing, typing. I found that that's the quickest that I've ever learned how to code is by actually coding along with someone. Because just watching something, especially with coding, it's almost inevitable that you're going to forget the next day what you learned. But when you write it out and practice and write it out and practice, you do, you know, remember that. And just be persistent and also consistent with what you're doing. Set yourself some times out to learn. You know, don't learn every day. Learn every second day. Give yourself a break to take that all in your mind to refresh before you watch the next video and carry on like that. But yeah, just and also decide what you want to get into first. It's extremely important. A lot of people come into this space saying, I want to be a developer. Well, you can either come in and be a developer, and what do you want to do as a developer? So you can say, I want to develop apps, or I want to develop this and that. And just choose what you want to do. Because if you want to be a Web3 developer, then stick to Solidity, JavaScript, and all these technologies. Mm-hmm. And so there's specific avenues, and those you can just Google. Google search should give you the right technologies to learn for a specific task that you want to complete.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, there's no substitute for hands-on experience and trial by fire learning as you do. I couldn't agree more. And to your second point as well, I think understanding what you want to do and importantly, why, I think is really, really important. All right. The last question, and this is one that I get asked a lot. And I don't have a good answer for it, but it's if someone wants to get a job in this space, I guess specifically as a developer, but maybe even more broadly, what's your advice? Because I think there are a lot of people watching who hate their Web2 jobs, or maybe they don't have a job, or maybe they're a student and they're thinking about what the future is, and they're like, hey, I want to work in Web3. What are the best ways to, in your view, to get a job in this space?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many people out there right now that has eyes on the space. And exactly that question, Zeneca, where you're like, you know, I want to do Web3. I want to get into the space. I want to do development. Well, my advice for getting your first job is do it for free, right? That's what I've always said, is show someone what you can do. They will use it. They will go ahead and like maybe employ you after that. Mm-hmm. If it's someone that doesn't have a company, and they can, you know, afford to make you a part of a project, you know, become a part of a project, just help people out to the point where you can prove that you can do the development. And then I believe that jobs automatically come to you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are really hardcore and serious and don't want to just like faff around, you know, you also have a lot of experience behind your name, because that I'm just talking about new developers. But if you are a developer, and you can't just afford to kind of do free jobs and stuff until you make it, I would say, you know, go to any server that allows you to pick up jobs. We've got a Hashtag server, and in there, there's, you know, an abundance of jobs, people looking for smart contract design, front-end development, back-end development, and just take one of those jobs. And then that's how you will, you know, slowly get your way closer and closer to becoming a full-time developer. But I don't think the finding a job is the issue, because I think there's, you know, a very shortage, very much a shortage of devs in the space. But so you can almost automatically get a job anyway. It is getting there and teaching yourself the right skills and the right knowledge that you get there. So I would say just feel confident before you do a job that you've deployed at least an ERC 721 contract, NFT contract, a ERC 20 token, and as well as 1155. Those are the three main basic ones that I say, if you can deploy all three there and you can adapt them in certain ways, you're good to go. You know, you can write bigger systems, especially if you understand how they work internally.
That's amazing advice. And yeah, like you said, there is a real shortage of developers out there. And the difficult part is at this point, you know, maybe it changes in five years, but currently the difficult part is learning how to code And then if you're good, if you can deploy those contracts, you will find a job. So like, again, if you're listening to this, watching this, and thinking about whether you want to get started or not, I mean, I've been saying this over the last 12, 18 months I've been in this space. I still believe it now. Like in terms of technical skills, I think there's no more valuable in-demand skill in the world right now that would be more worth spending your time on than learning how to code Solidity, being a Web3 developer. Because again, the future is here. The future is going to be on the blockchain. And if you understand how to build those building blocks and how it all connects, the opportunities are limitless. And yeah, it's such an excellent way to spend your time. And the best way to do that is go to your channel, go to Hashlips, and join your Discord and everything. We'll have all the links below. Yeah, this has been wonderful. Like, as I said before, I could chat to you for hours and hours, but we try to keep these to 30, 40 minutes, sadly. is there anything else that we haven't covered that you want to mention to touch on, tell people?
Yeah, I mean, oh geez, we are over 30 minutes.
It's crazy how time just flies.
Yeah, time just flies. And you know, my power's going to go off, so we need to...
Yes.
So I have to mention that, you know, I've mentioned all these cool stuff. If you want to get into development, come and look at a few videos on my channel. Also, very important, if you love artworks and you want to join a nice community, come and join the Sketchy Labs community. We also have a beautiful Maniac collection coming up. But just hang around. If you want to hang around, you know, productive people in this space, especially if you are new, just join a proper Discord channel. You know, join Zen Academy, you know, join your Discord channel. That's the whole thing. You know, if people want to succeed in this space, if they want to learn, join proper Discord channels where there's proper education and good people involved. And that's, yeah, I guess we can end it off there.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Thank you so much. And we will have links to all of those, to the OpenSea collection for Sketchy Apes, your Discords, your YouTube and everything. And maybe even the editors can do funky things where they put videos here or there and that people can go check out. I don't know. I'm not.
Oh, wow. There's editors on here. They're going to be like doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I have no idea. they'll make it look nicer. But thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure and a treat. And I think we're going to try and do this more frequently and just chat about the space. Because like I said, we could chat for hours and yeah. But all right. Thank you. Appreciate you and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Zeneca, thank you so much for having me. It was really, really awesome. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks for listening to Zen Chats with Zeneca. Please consider subscribing to the podcast so that you are notified of future episodes. Also, make sure to check out our YouTube channel for the video version of this episode. For even more podcasting fun, check out the other podcast I co-host, Two Bored Apes. If you enjoy my content, please consider joining us at Zen Academy, a place where anyone, anywhere, at any level can learn about NFTs and Web3. All of the links are in the description below. I'll catch you next time.